Like Family with Brenda Donoghue.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Like Family. So, when did you last whip out your smartphone and take a quick photo?
Oh, that's a cracker of a picture. Can you describe it for us?
So we were away on holidays in Slough, and Bobby's only starting to walk, and he took his daddy's hand and was walking towards the sunset.
In this edition of Like Family, we ask, is compiling the family album a practice of the past? And what is happening to precious family photos in this digital age?
And you can join the conversation on Twitter at Brenda Donoghue or email brenda@rte.ie.
It's a busy Saturday morning at Timpson's in Naas. Danielle is helping me sort through the 964 photos on my phone.
Like, look, that's Harvey as a
tiny little baby.
And I have so few pictures of him because him being the third, you know, great with the first and the second.
2, 4. So that's all.
That's my mum's 80th.
Ah, bless.
My dad there in the big cave.
So you've got some really precious moments going on here. I noticed that when I print a picture for someone, a lot of people kind of hold it close to their heart for a second, and you can see that they're having a bit of a flashback. And then I'm like, now there's a little envelope for you, and you can kind of see them come back to reality then for just for a second it happens. But I like, that's what I like about this job, is handing someone a moment like that, and it's kind of reliving it for them.
Wendy is next in the queue.
Obviously, everything's on Instagram these days. Nothing's actually printed off. So I just think it's important for the kids and all to be able to see around the house, you know, printed off pictures.
It's funny you say that, because I think there has been research done to say that children that grow up and there are pictures around of maybe past generations.
Yeah.
They feel they belong. It tells them their story.
Well, this is it. My mum was very much printing off and having the albums around, pictures all around the house and all that. So every now and again, we'd even go up to her house and take them all out and reminisce over the years and family holidays and all that. But my sisters or me kind of didn't have that. So I just started then thinking, like, it's important for Bobby growing up to have family albums of holidays and day outs and stuff like that.
So we have little Bobby here who is asleep.
How perfect. How old is he?
He's 13 months.
Okay.
Yeah, I was blessed with him now, I have to say.
Is it him that's given you the inspiration to print the pictures?
Definitely. And also, like, my uncle had actually just passed, and I just realised that I didn't actually have any photos printed off of him. It was all kind of saved on Snapchat or Instagram. So even since then, I'm after printing off a few pictures and have around the house. And it's just lovely to remind yourself, like, of the family and stuff like that, no? Yeah, it is.
What are you putting in this huge 20 by 16 frame?
I'm putting a little, I'll actually show you here, it's of the father and son moment.
Oh, that's a cracker of a picture. Can you describe it for us?
So we were away on holidays in Slough, and Bobby's only starting to walk, and he took his daddy's hand and was walking towards the sunset, and I literally started bawling. I was like, I have to get a picture of this and print it off. So that's why I'm here now.
Are you going to put it in that huge frame?
Yeah, in this huge frame. It's going to be hung on the wall for everyone to see.
What do you think they'll
see? Just a moment, a lovely moment, Ka.
A quick consultation with Danielle.
So hit share on your phone there. And that's that.
Yeah.
Oh, Danielle.
Oh, she has the big frame.
No.
Now, Danielle.
You ready for this?
I am. Oh, my God.
Do you love it?
Danielle.
Yeah. Do you love it?
I love it. What do you think?
Cute. Oh.
Do you know what? It's amazing.
Isn't
the little. Look at the little.
That's what I love. He's in the emotional walk in there. Like, it's just a really lovely moment, caught though, isn't it?
It is.
Oh, lads, I can't cope with it.
Where are you going to put it?
In the hall.
In the hall?
Yeah, so everyone can see. Everyone has to have a little moment.
It's so nice, Wendy.
I'll have it for years to come. I'm so, so happy with it. I'm delighted. I'm really emotional even looking at it now. I need to put it into a bag right now before I start crying.
Laura and her daughter Isabel are printing an album.
Okay. And that's Liam, my youngest brother, and dad in the snow back years ago, I think.
2010, the big snow. Oh, this is... Isabel liked this because it was Evan Paul trying to take a selfie.
Yeah.
Yeah, at the confirmation, and she thought it was a bit of an epic fail.
Isabel, are you in hospital there?
Yeah, I had surgery last year on my heart, just a little surgery, and my mum and dad were so supportive through it all, and I just love the photos because it just reminds me of how good they are.
I can see it, but tell people, what are you doing, Isabel, you and your dad?
We're just sticking out our tongues, so... but it's just our thing. Just take a quick funny photo and about what we naturally do, and it really makes me laugh just looking at it. And
you're getting emotional, ma'am. Why are we getting emotional?
Well, I have to say, very special daddy, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's good. He's one in a million, I have to say. I was lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was lucky to have found him, and they're lucky to have him as a dad.
What's his name?
Paul. Oh, right. So he is. He's fun.
But isn't it interesting that just being so thoughtful, we're just giving you a tissue. Isn't it interesting that just your daughter being so thoughtful and...
Yeah.
Making that photograph is making you emotional.
Oh, absolutely.
And me as well.
Yeah, because I know that's what he'd absolutely love, is this scrapbook. Mm. Yeah.
Laura recalls a photo taken with her own father.
My father died, he was only 64, and he died. And there's lovely, I have to say, the couple of pictures that I have of him when I was younger is me playing in the snow, and I have that up in a picture frame with him when I was about 7. And... yeah, with the flared trousers, and I'm with the flared trousers. It's a brilliant photograph. And I have to say, you know, you don't have to be reminded of them, but it's always lovely to look at.
Would it matter to family relationships if there was no family photographs? You know, is a family without a photograph?
I don't think so. I think you need photographs. You know, say if my dad's gone, and if we were sitting down together looking at old photographs, it brings everybody together. It's 11 years apart from myself and my sister, so she's different memories with Dad than I have. But it's nice to all come together and chat around photographs.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. But myself, I have 4 kids. I have 3 boys, and Isabel is the only daughter.
Mm.
So like that, my first 2 children would have them in an album, and then the following 2 are all on a computer. It's terrible, you know, that this is happening now. But if you lost them, you've lost them.
So how often then would you actually print photographs?
Not very often.
Is this unusual here today?
Isabel would be the one, being the only daughter, would be the one who would think about her daddy or her mammy and print them out.
Okay.
And put them on a card.
One day, they'll probably be grandchildren.
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Yes.
They'll be looking at these pictures. Is that important to you?
Well, I think so, that they see that, you know, the values of our family at this stage
are reflected through the photographs.
I never really knew how my mum and dad's life was, because there was no photographs from back then. You heard stories, but you didn't see the photographs. So it's nice for the grandkids to actually see that we did all these things together and that we were a loving family. So, yeah, it's nice to have them.
For every photo printed out in this shop today, there are thousands of images we capture and plan to hold on to forever. But technology will change, and some of those images will slip beyond our reach. Family albums are intensely personal, and when the people featured are no longer significant in our memories, once precious albums can end up on eBay or tossed in a skip. Historian Orla Fitzpatrick collects photo albums.
Brenda, I have it here. It's a beautiful silk-covered album, which I think is from the 1950s. But
it's
when
expensive-looking.
Expensive-looking, yeah, with like a sort of faux gilt writing on it as well.
The first one she found abandoned in a skip in Stony Batter in Dublin.
When you open it up, it's not arranged chronologically. We see things going back to the 1920s, then the next photograph could be from the 1980s. And maybe they're grouped together in parts of the family that make sense to the person who put them together. You have studio photographs beside colour snapshots, beside smaller snapshots. We have a picture here of 2 very dapper gentlemen taken in the Ross studio on Grafton Street. And they look like such characters, you know, really suave, the hats, the wide...
straight out Peaky Blinders.
Completely. Yeah. And, you know, wide kipper ties and big lapelled pinstripe suits. Quite gangsterish, suave looking. But, you know... just to meditate on that from a fashion history point of view, and also from a social history point of view. Were they brothers? Were they friends? What is going on here? And then you have your communions by the seaside. And again, the same photograph, the couple taking photographs of each other in the same spot. And I think that's something you get, how people wore clothes. You can look at fashion plates, and you can look at, you know, Vogue and things like that. But that's not how clothes were worn on the street. And a lot of these clothes would have been made in Dublin. Another communion photograph there. That's Ockram Street Church there.
So where did this passion for photo albums come from?
I think I really started my interest in photography through my grandmother in Cavan, who had a passion for family photographs, and part of our trips to Cavan always included my grandmother bringing down this big box of photographs, which went right back to the 1880s and included relatives in America. But she had a story to go with each photograph, and she could tell you where she bought a particular dress or what the weather was like on a day. And then she would talk about people who were long since dead, but really bring them alive. So it was as much the story that went with the photograph. But then I also loved the different look of the photographs, different processes and different colours.
And her own family had an album.
I was a child in the 1970s, and that was the heyday of the photo albums, where you actually, they were covered in a sort of sticky glue, and you pulled up the film and you stuck the photo down and it was stuck down and it could never come off again. My photo albums of my sister and I when we were children are in that era of glued down onto this piece of card, and you couldn't take them off again. The photo album persisted right through the 20th century in its physical format, in that people were printing off, making a decision on what photo went with what or where to put things, and, you know, sometimes a lot of effort and a lot of thought went into them. I think they are very meaningful because they are something that people routinely, and I know it's a cliche, say that they would rescue from the house. And I think they become increasingly more precious as time goes by and as things change. It's a genuine meaning without being over sentimental. I think it is something that is a record of family life that perhaps maybe certain documents don't give, and it shows everybody together and sparks memories, as I say. Getting back to talking about my grandmother and how she had a story that went with each photograph.
The 20th century was the century of the photo album. While technology is making these albums rare enough now, it was probably the technical know-how of the Kodak company that made the photo album a popular family treasure in the first place.
The Kodak Box Brownie, which was patented in the 1900s, revolutionised taking photographs to make it very simple, make it not too expensive, remove the need for expertise in the dark room. So you could, as their slogan says, you press the button and we do the rest. You sent off, and this is something that some people don't remember, you send off your roll and you don't know what you're getting back because you haven't seen the photograph before. And it's a sort of a follow on from the excitement of holidays, going to, in my day, it would have been going to the chemist or going to a photo processor and getting back the 24 or the 32 images, some of which may have come out and some of which may not. Mm. And the photo album persisted right through the 20th century in its physical format, in that people were printing off, making a decision on what photo went with what or where to put things, and, you know, sometimes a lot of effort and a lot of thought went into them.
Is that idea of putting together a family album gone?
I don't think so. Students, millennials, do have a sort of feeling to throw back to the analogue, to crafting. I know scrapbooking is an absolutely gigantic hobby in America. So if you look in any craft shop, the idea of making an album is coming back. Maybe not to the same extent and not for everybody, but there is a sort of a retro vintage mania for scrapbooking, including the photo album. So people are getting into these as little mini works of art.
But for your average family?
I think more photographs are being taken, but less albums are being created.
The family album of the future, what do you see, Orla? What does it look like to you?
I think for the most part, it probably will be online, networked, shared with people around the world. Particular special occasions will be marked by a physical album. Albums associated with weddings are still have to have a physical incarnation. You may get your memory stick, or you may get a link to particular files, but people still want that for that particular occasion. But I know myself that I am creating and uploading a lot of photographs all the time. I do divide them up into albums, and some of them I share with closer friends and some of them I share with work colleagues. And if I, for instance, no longer wanted to be on any of the social media platforms I'm on, I would then realise that I invested a lot of time into creating these albums on these platforms, and would I be able to retrieve them, or what would happen if, you know, overnight one of these companies went bust? Because that is what they are. They're companies, and this is where I'm keeping my family memories and records, as opposed to an album that I had, you know, in a wardrobe or in a chest of drawers. So that is something to think about. But on the flip side, there is also the idea that they can be replicated very, very quickly and will exist in several different places. So even if I sign off a particular platform, maybe a friend has downloaded that album and has that on their laptop. But the family album is limited. I think it already has become a more limited practice, probably indicative of time, because putting together an album is time consuming and quite a labour of love. You know, I think people do get soulless from it, and looking back on them, the joy that they bring and what you see in them is amazing. So, you know, it might be worthwhile doing every now and again if you have the time. Some of these albums are really beautiful, the way they're put together, the skill and the craft and the loving attention. And the captions can tell you a lot, you know, that you don't see by just looking at the image.
Everything has changed. The Tivoli's gone, so we're just walking past the old tea clothing factory that would have been. This would have been the Barley Mow and McGowan's. Thousands of photographs in my granddad's collection from people in the pubs.
Yes.
I walked down Francis Street in Dublin with Suzanne Bean.
I think we're now walking past what was Joyce's Bakery for your apple tarts on a Sunday.
Oh.
Very famous, the apple tarts from Joyce's.
Her grandfather, John Walsh, had a photography studio at number 50 Francis Street. Recently, she has created a Facebook page and a book to share photographs from her grandfather's archive. We meet her mother, Rita, who was John Walsh's daughter.
This is my mum, Rita, and she would have grown up on the street, and this would have been her playground.
And she recalls how he took photos of his own children.
Well, when we were young and my dad had come home after taking something or other, he'd have maybe one or two negatives left on the roll, and he was always anxious to develop them. And we used to run away from him, and we didn't want him to take our picture. He'd take us in our pyjamas and teenagers' rollers in our hair. But now, when we're going through the stuff now, we have found absolutely fantastic family pictures that we had never even seen. We have beautiful pictures of my mother that we never seen before, some in colour, some in black and white. We have pictures of my grandmother and her brother that we never even seen before. We have pictures of my sisters, of my mum's sisters. This was taken when I was about...
is that you there?
No, here. This is me here.
Oh my God, right? You're beautiful.
Right.
Yeah.
This was taken when leather jackets came into fashion and black high boots. And my grandmother...
How long ago?
I was about 16. But my grandmother was very old-fashioned.
You won the money for the boots and the bingo and the Tivoli.
So we got £50 between us. Looking at this picture, I can remember the day. There was a shop facing Whitefriars Street Chapel called Shirley's. And of course, I went to Shirley's and I bought the leather jacket. And I had a mini skirt under that and black leather boots. And my mother called them whore's boots.
That jacket today would be well sought after.
Yeah. And your chiffon scarf. You had to have your chiffon scarf tied under your chin.
Weren't you a bit of a raver then, Rita?
But the photographs do bring back so many memories of things, you know, and even the words that my grandmother would say to me, I can remember them when I look at that picture. You're not going out wearing them boots. When we were emptying my dad's house, I actually took them all home to my house, because my dad would turn in his grave if we actually threw a picture out. We were brought up to respect photographs and pictures, and I kept them for, God,
18 years
in my shed. Well, it's actually a workshop, it's not a shed.
It's a posh shed.
It's a posh shed. And I always had planned to do something, but I was working and raising a family and, like, you know, I never got a chance to do it. And one day Suzanne said, "Ma'am, I'm taking a box of my granddad's pictures home." And it just started. And then she came back for another box. And then she took two boxes. And now she has the whole collection down in her house in Kildare.
Suzanne has the time to share her grandfather's archive because she's been treated for cancer.
You must be so proud of her doing this.
Yeah, I am. Sorry, Brenda, can't see you nod.
Yeah.
I am so proud of Suzanne. She has worked very hard, sometimes under difficult circumstances. She worked very hard to put this all together. Cancer is a very strange thing. Because of Suzanne's cancer, she produced this book, and so many people that we've met over the last couple of years have been so kind and so good and so delighted. She's actually made so many people happy with seeing the pictures of their grandparents and their great-grandparents and their self as children that they never seen before. Because in those days, people didn't actually have cameras. And my dad would have been, in one sense, we didn't realise it, but he was being the historian of the street. Of this whole area, because the girls that worked in the factory down there, he'd done their wedding pictures. Then when they had their babies, he went to take their babies' pictures. Then if they moved to Crumlin, his circle was getting wider, because the generations, he was on his fourth, fifth generation of families. So it has brought so many, it's brought such happiness to great people, so many people.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Suzanne and I stop for coffee and she tells me about the photographic archive.
I couldn't believe he had this catalogue of images left, and I appreciate now that he never threw anything away. So I feel I still have so much work to do, you know, in getting them out there. And I suppose as well, everybody is just so grateful. You know, they're so thankful that they found their family photograph, you know, because they remember going to my granddad's studio. They remember getting the photograph taken, but they don't have the photograph. So they're still waiting for me to find that photograph for them.
So for you, it's nearly a life's work.
For me, it's been a full-time, it's like a full-time job, yeah, and I need a PA, I need an assistant, I need an assistant, but it has given me, you know, on the dark days and the shitty days, I suppose, the horrible days, anybody with cancer will know what they are. I go upstairs and I open a box of negatives.
Do you think there's a life cycle in the family album that maybe when somebody passes away, everybody gets interested then in the photographs?
Yeah, I think every single family in Ireland has the tin box, the, you know, the old tin of biscuits, the box that the photographs are in. And really, when I think when somebody passes away, there's a fight over that tin box. Who's going to get the photographs? Who's going to get this? Or somebody borrows the photographs and says, "I'll get a copy and I'll bring it back to you." But I don't think they ever kind of come back. So, I mean, I know my mum has the tin of biscuits and with the photographs in it and all the old films. And I have scanned them and saved them and, you know, share them with my brothers and family and everything. And it's just, there's nothing like a photograph. There's nothing that can take you back to that time or that place, or you remember what you were doing at that time, or, you know, you have a good laugh about your hair or your clothes, or what way did your mother dress you, or, you know, like, there's nothing like it. You can't. And I think so many people take photographs with their phone now, and then your phone is lost, or you change your phone, or, you know, it's not the same. It's not the same as having an actual photograph in your hand. For me, it's not. For me, I think photographs bring families together. It's a connection, you know. So it's very important to keep that tradition going, because we're in such a digital age now that, you know, everything is on your phone, your computer. It's all your memories are in a little box of electronic, you know, and you just need to... They're in a cloud. They're in a cloud. And sadly, you know, if somebody passes away, how do you access that cloud? How do you get into that person's phone? How do you... You know, so do it now while you have time. That's my thing.
Okay. So you were saying to people, get those photographs off that phone and into print, as somebody who, in a way, and I hope you don't mind me saying this, is, you know, not guaranteed to be around.
Yeah, I think for me, because I have been kind of the family photographer or the person that takes the photographs in our family, I have thousands of photographs stored on my computer. So for me at this minute in time, it's, I don't know how long more left I have. So for me, it's very important to get them to my family and to people and to just share everything before, you know, somebody is trying to access my computer, sadly. So for me, it's kind of a mission. It's kind of a bucket list thing to, you know, get all the photographs out there and done, because eventually it'll be like people, it'll be their memories of me, I suppose, as such as well. So yeah, it's very important.
And Suzanne Bean's book is called The 50 Francis Street Photographer. That's all for this edition of Like Family. Thanks to all the people who share their family photos with us. This programme was produced by Eileen Hearn.
For more information, check out rte.ie/radio1/likefamily.